Good morning, everybody. If you would join me in a word of prayer. Father God, I just come before you this morning, seeking you, seeking out your revelation into our lives, Lord. Holy Spirit, would you help us to understand and that your words would give us life this morning, give us perspective, and that you would do a work in us today, Lord. And our desire is to encounter you this morning, Lord. So would you minister to us, whether it be through the message, the prayer time, the worship, Lord, that you would move and touch us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We'll be reading from 1 Corinthians 13, and we're going to read verse 11 and 12. Okay? I mean, we might as well read the 13, but I'm just going to go over 11 and 12 today. And just to give a bit of context of what we're reading, so you don't get lost, in this chapter, Paul is talking about how important love is. And the context of the times was the Corinth church, they were putting too much value and emphasis in spiritual gifts. And so he's trying to explain why it is that spiritual gifts, while they are important, they don't compare to love. And why we always need to have love as the priority and the emphasis. And he's making those points in this chapter, and especially in verse 11, 12. So starting at verse 11, he says, "When I was a child, I used to speak like a child, think like a child, reason like a child. When I became a man, I did away with childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully, just as I also have been fully known. But now faith, hope, and love remain. These three, but the greatest of these is love." Amen. So, okay, Paul says in verse 11, "When I was a child, I used to speak like a child, think like a child, reason like a child. When I became a man, I did away with childish things, right? And this is just wisdom, hopefully, right? As much as we want to be childlike, and there's something special about people who are still childlike, like we want that childlike heart, that innocence, that purity. That's one thing, but what Paul is talking about is childish things. And, you know, although, you know, you can say it's very appropriate as a child or to do certain things, it would not be appropriate now. I think, I was like, what would be very inappropriate that, like, you know, for instance, I couldn't really come up with a great example. But I just remember when I was a kid, how much I loved candy. It's amazing because I don't really let my kids eat that much candy. But my whole diet was candy. It was my weekends with my friends. We would just go to the corner store and basically buy bags of candy and drink soda. And that was like our diet. And somehow we survived, right? However, if that's my diet now, it would be very inappropriate. Not even just childish, even different seasons. I was ministering to, I wouldn't say ministering to. In my intention, it's ministering to. But I was talking to this, I guess, college kid. Not a Christian. It's just from playing basketball. And I was just like talking about, oh, like, what do you want to do with your life? And what are your plans for this summer? And basically, this is his point of life. Just to be clear, I'm not condoning this behavior. But basically, the point of life was to party with friends, get drunk, and hook up. And in fact, that was his summer plans, to go to LA. I'm like, oh, why are you going to LA? It's like, yeah, just to party and hook up with girls. And I was like, oh, okay. I was like, well, let me say this to you. I know right now that's what all your friends are doing. And in college, that's for not everybody. For a lot of people, that's part of the experience. And I know that seems really fun and cool and awesome right now. But when you're 40 or 50, if you're doing this, it's not cool anymore. He was like, thinking about it. I think he was thinking like, wouldn't that still be cool? But I'm like, that would not be cool. That would be like, you would probably gauge those people as immature. And my point to him, similar to Paul's, is like, why are you putting so much value and investing so much into something that is going to be temporal, right? And I was just trying to like, yeah, so you got to think. I mean, eventually I was like trying to lead to like Christ and purpose. But I was even being practical, like, oh, so what do you want to, like, what do you do want to do with your life? How, like, that's obviously not your purpose and goal. He was like, I just want to get rich. I just want to get rich. I'm like, well, how will you do that? I'm like, because people who want to, I guess, make a lot of money and be successful and have these goals, while you're partying, they're probably investing their time into accomplishing those things. So you need to think not just about right now and what makes it, what seems cool and fun. You need to think long term, right? And that's what Paul is saying here. I know you could just focus so much on not being childish, but really, what's the context? It's about the spiritual gifts, right? And so what Paul is saying is, he's saying spiritual gifts, he's not saying spiritual gifts are immature, just to be clear. He's saying spiritual gifts are appropriate for a season and a time. And he's paralleling it to childish things. And they're appropriate for us right now, right? However, there will be a time where those spiritual gifts are no longer, I don't want to say appropriate, but they're no longer necessary, right? And he doesn't say it here, but I guess in the context of the whole passage, therefore, prioritize those things also, not, they're not mutually exclusive, but prioritize those things that are eternal, right? Like love. That's why love always has to be in the picture. He goes on. So just to be clear, I didn't want any misunderstanding. Paul is not trying to say that if we are spiritually mature, we will not need spiritual gifts. But I think the implication is, he does say that if we are spiritually mature, we will not overemphasize spiritual gifts, especially at the expense of love. Yeah? And then verse 12, he says, "For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. For now I see a mirror dimly, but then face to face." And so you could glaze over and you think, oh, okay, yeah, when I look at the mirror, it's not even a clear picture. But when I look into a mirror, especially my bathroom mirror, it's pretty clear, right? It's pretty accurate. So this is something that it's like a context thing that we have to understand. Let me ask you guys a question. What was the OG original? What was the original mirror? The first mirror. PhD? Research? Okay. The original mirror that people used was called a water mirror, right? Like, that was the original, where, I don't know if you experienced it, because you can't really do this in an ocean, but back in Canada, if you go on a cottage, you go to lakes and the water is quiet and you can look down and you could see your reflection. So that was the original mirror. And you can get an idea. You can see yourself, but how accurate? Can you see the detail? Can you see the color in your eyes? No. And so that was the original mirror. But in this context, in ancient times, the mirror that they would use was not like the mirror we use now. The mirror that they would use was accomplished by taking a piece of metal, like silver or bronze, and they would just polish it until it's super smooth and shiny. But you can imagine, even then, those type of mirrors were not, they're not that accurate. They're not that great for reflecting light, right? I don't know if you have a piece of, what I was thinking of like was, a trophy, and you shine it up, and you look at it, but still kind of distorted, right? Or you're looking into a spoon, although that's distorted, and you can kind of look at yourself, still distorted. And, I mean, just for your reference, now, how do they make mirrors? I actually Googled this because how do they make mirrors? What is it made of? It's made of glass, right? I think that one we know. And they take a piece of glass and they spray silver or aluminum on it on that surface because it's so smooth and flat. And and then they process it to cover that silver. And that's how we have modern day mirrors that are very accurate in its portrayal and really good at reflecting light so we can see who we are. But those ancient mirrors, they weren't that accurate. And thus, what we see is very dim. Again, we're talking about spiritual gifts, right? And so, and just to be clear again, spiritual gifts are amazing. They're awesome. Our church vision, it's not up here, is a place where we can encounter God. And through how do we encounter those things? A big part of it is we believe in walking in those spiritual gifts. And what I, and hopefully you, I imagine this would be a similar answer, is like, what do you love about walking in those spiritual gifts? What's so awesome about giving a prophetic word in faith? You had no idea, and it was true. What's so awesome about when you pray for someone, and they're supernaturally healed? What's so amazing about suddenly getting a word of knowledge, right? Hopefully it's not, oh, I'm so powerful. Hopefully that's not the feeling you get. But for me, the feeling of operating in those spiritual gifts, besides, one is helping others and blessing others, so that should be our motive, love. But one of the things I really love and enjoy whenever God really shows up and uses me is he feels so real, right? I'm like, oh my gosh, God, you are so real. You're working through me. This is, and it's so fun, right? And so notice what I said. For me anyway, hopefully maybe it resonates with you. It feels so real, right? But it's not the real thing. It feels so real, but it's not the, okay, I shouldn't say it's not the real thing, but there's so much more to that feeling that I will eventually experience. And that's what Paul says here. He says, right now, what you're experiencing, it's like looking into a dim mirror, but eventually, you're going to experience something that's he calls face-to-face, right? When I think of face-to-face, the first thing that comes to mind is Moses, right? Moses had a special relationship with God. In Exodus, he says, the Lord would speak to Moses face-to-face as one speaks to a friend. And then in Exodus 33:20, he says, shortly after, but he said, you cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live. So it seems contradictory, right? And so how do we understand this? And this is often the case, I think, where we get into trouble when we're like, that doesn't make sense, is we have to understand the style of the speech in the Bible. In this case, when God says to Moses, like, describes a special relationship, it's face-to-face, he's saying that figuratively, right? What he's saying that they have a special relationship like no other thus far. It's so free, it's so open that it's direct. Like, you think of what makes you, when you call someone a friend, hopefully, you're like, oh yeah, that's my friend. What are you implying? Well, one, closeness, but one of the features is you have a direct relationship with them. They actually know you directly, you've talked to them directly, you have relationship direct. It's not through someone else, in which case you would say, oh yeah, I know, you would describe it differently. So they have a direct relationship, they're experiencing intimacy, and he's experiencing conversation with the Lord. And so this was a figurative statement when he says, oh, we're have this face-to-face. Because no one can see God and live. Also, it says later. I think that one is literal. In this case, it means all that figuratively, but it is also literal, what Paul is describing. And there's other verses later in the New Testament that describes this face-to-face, and it's in person. It's literal, but it also is all that figure stuff of the relationship is going to be so direct, right? And again, Paul's giving the same perspective, talking about the temporal and contrasting it with the eternity. And then he finishes by saying, in verse, end of 12, he says, I will know fully just as I have been fully known. And so someday, we'll know Jesus like how he knows us. I think that's the best. Right now, I mean, it gives us so much comfort, I think. It gives so much comfort to me that Jesus knows us. It's like, he knows us even while we were being formed in the womb. He knows the very number of hairs. He knows our hearts even better than we do. And that gives us so much comfort in knowing that. However, how much do we know about God? I mean, there's the Bible, obviously, through your quiet time. But like, even the affections that he's feeling towards us, what he desires for us, it's not... We get a sense, but is it that clear? No, right? We get a sense, and we go by that and step out in faith, but is it that clear? No. And someday, that will be clear. We probably, that doesn't mean that we'll know everything about God, but in our capacity to know God, it will be at its full capacity, right? And when that happens, that's when we'll really feel intimate with the Lord. Because that's what intimacy is. If you didn't know that, the definition of intimacy and why we go after that in relationship is because it is knowing somebody but also being known. And when those two things happen, that's when you experience connection. That's when you feel intimacy. That's when you feel accepted and, I guess, really loved at that point. And there, I just want to end with this. You know, I think there is something about, I know if this is not meant to be glum. Is that the word, glum? Feeling glum or feeling sad. But there is something about reflecting, and that's what Paul's doing, reflecting about eternity and how, and giving us perspective now. Right? That's what actually led me at that time, I know it's very melodramatic, but it's true, to confess and not confess, I guess, but basically confess to then my best friend, not my best friend, really good friend, Janie, my wife now. We were friends for a long time. So we were one of those relationships that We were friends and then became more than friends. And so it was really awkward to transition to that. And I remember going home, very melodramatic. I was like, for some reason, maybe there was a typhoon or something, I don't know. I was thinking, what if the world ended right now? I said, what if the world ended right now? What if I died right now? And I was wrestling already with these feelings with Janie. And I said, what would my regret be? And then my regret would be, not that she wasn't my girlfriend, but I never shared honestly about what I thought about her to her. So I think that following day, maybe not that following day because it took a lot of, I had to muster up the courage. At least that week, I ended up confessing and telling her how I felt. And sometimes we need to do that, right? Think eternal. If I were to die right now, if the world would end right now, I mean, I guess two things. What would I regret not doing? But also, what would I regret doing? Like, I'm spending all this effort into this. Would I regret that? And then, you know, it gives us comfort too, because knowing that someday we'll see our lost ones, right? And then so you don't have to spend so much time dwelling in grief, because you have hope that you will be reunited with your loved ones. That someday you will reunite with all your brothers and sisters. So if you're experiencing strife, right, disunity, then you don't have to hold on to that, because you can hold on to a hope that someday you're going to be reunited. All the anxiousness and anxiety and stress that you might be feeling from work, how does that compare to eternity, right? So hopefully that encourages you to not prioritize those things. And so all to say, yeah, it's just smart and wise to consider these things. So I want to invite... And of course, Paul again, he's sharing this to give us perspective to love. Because love is the only thing that will stand the test of time, which will be a continuation. It's an investment that you can make, that you can continue to make, even in heaven. And so let's just take a time. I know this is not exactly the point, but I just felt like maybe some reflection time, as I talked about, as it pertains to eternity, the things we're doing, or things that we should be doing, right? And that's not to cause you to. I think the thing I want to asterisk is I don't think it's wise to suddenly make a rash decision, right? But I think what Paul is trying to ask us to do is to reprioritize the effort, the things we're doing or not doing. Maybe there needs to be a reprioritization, right? Especially when we look at eternity and not just looking at this moment, not just looking into our lifetime. So let's just go before God. Just ask Him, is what I'm investing so much of my time and effort in, is this pleasing to You? Is this what I'm supposed to do?
To see You, I want to see You. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you. And holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you.
Let's turn to our screens. Let's pray, cover our community. Let's pray for those who are suffering from cancer, going through chemo, radiation therapy, and surgery. Let's pray for God's healing, His encouragement, that God would minister to those people on the list as well as loved ones around them. Let's pray. Let's also pray for those who are ill, but also in need of a word of salvation. Let's pray for healing, but let's also pray for that encounter. Let's pray for fertile and receptive hearts. Let's also pray for infirmities. Let's pray for God's full healing and restoration. Let's also pray for those who are going through COVID. Let's pray for Catherine Vogel, Lyman, John, and Rachel Chan. And also let's pray for the frontline medical workers. Let's pray for God's healing, His covering, His protection. Let's pray for our brother, Sterling. Let's pray for God's provision and His leading to open doors. Let's go to our mission focus. Let's pray for Japan, MP, Sophia, Jungmin, and Hyunjin, SP Tokyo. These are the SP Tokyo planners. Let's pray for USA, SPNY. Let's also pray for their leaders, Kelly, Jess, and Ruth. And let's pray for India, our missionary Kelly, and who set up a cafe in India. Let's pray for all our missionaries. Let's also pray for the Mission Council. That's P. Samuel, Tim, Sally, Mike, and John Koshy. Let's pray for the team, unity, vision, a love for the people that they want to reach out to. Pray for SP Fam, our foster and adoption ministry led by Cadence. Let's pray for this ministry, for the partnerships that we have with Mother's Choice, and also the ministry we're doing, Safe Families. Let's pray for our partnerships, for that we could also support the families that are involved, and yeah, for God's leading. Let's pray for the Friday night gatherings. Let's pray for our IP, SP Youth, SPU, GIC class. And also, it's not up there, but just no need to add. But also, we have a house church leaders training tonight. So if you could just pray for all the ministries, that there would be an encounter where we would experience God, that there'd be so much love, that Lord would, love would be the emphasis and priority in all these meetings, that we would be led by the Spirit, especially the leaders, and that there would just be so much fellowship and koinonia. Let's pray. Lastly, let's pray for the pregnancies. Let's pray for Tayon, Hina, and just other pregnancies you might be aware of. Let's pray for the protection and safety of the baby and the mom. Let's pray for a good relationship between the family unit and even in-laws during this special season of their life. And just pray for a lot of peace over the situation, as it's really in God's control. Yes, Lord. Give thanks for today and the passage. a reminder, Lord, of perspective and what we should be focusing on, Lord, that we would be not so fixed on just the temporal, and many of those things are important, Lord, but that we would not prioritize the temporal things so high. And so, Lord, especially when it comes to even our feelings or future and principles, Lord, I mean, all those things are important, but end of the day, what is it about? It's about love. It's about spending an eternity with you, and therefore, when we look at that, what is important, Lord? What are the things that we really need to invest in our limited time we have here, Lord? So we just give thanks for that wisdom and that clarity, Lord, and we can start to just live in alignment with those, with you and those things that are important on your heart, Lord. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen, everyone.